Sunday school superintendent, but Joe graduated from Liberty University. He has a master's in divinity and, education, okay. All right, and so he's ordained or licensed minister, and I was asking him a couple things about that. He is married. We are thankful to God that the Lord is blessing in many, many ways in his life. And this morning, a little bit later, we'll be recognizing our Sunday school teachers and recognizing those workers in our Sunday school, and certainly want to allow Joe to come and just share God's word with us this day. Amen? Let us receive him with an amen.
Clap, you can sing with me. 216.
Amen.
Some bad news too, but we'll do the good news first and then the bad news last. Well, let's change it around. Let's do the bad news first. How about that?
All right.
Okay. All right. I've got a message for you, and it is taken from the book of Jude. Jude, and we will read just a few verses in Jude chapter 1. You know, this is one of those books that you really seldom hear, you know, people preached about, especially on the radio, because this book contains some things that really God is talking to us as believers about what is actually happening in the last days.
Amen.
And we need to pay very close attention to that book and to what the Holy Spirit has led on the heart of Jude. Let us stand as we read a few verses in Jude. Chapter 1. Actually, one. There is only one chapter in that book. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friend, he writes, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, and I think some translation has the common salvation, but it is the salvation that we all share.
Amen.
He said, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. You may be seated.
Amen.
Now, it is quite obvious that Jude wrote this book. Now, in this book, Jude points out a few things that we are actually witnessing that are occurring in these last days. And sometimes we really cast a blind eye to it. Now, this letter was written to Jewish Christians, but the content of the letter is very much applicable to us today, because we are beginning to witness things that are occurring in our nation and around the world that we believe that back then, we thought back then these things were not happening, but today these things are very prevalent, not only in our community, not only in our government, but also in our church. So we can title this message today, A Warning Against False Doctrine. And sometimes we call them apostasy, false teaching. Now, Jude made it quite clear that the reason why he was writing this letter, because some individuals, and he called them ungodly men. And by the way, let me just go ahead and put this in there. You do not send your children to Sunday school to learn about God. Guess what? They are going to school out there, and these people are teaching your kids. Now, let's look at the characteristics of these men. He said these men are ungodly men. What did they do? They are ungodly people who, the word that he used is, who pervert the grace of our God into a license of immorality. Now, if you really look at that word pervert, this of course is, in English, a transitive verb. So it describes the behavior of these ungodly people. These people that we send our kids to school and who are teaching our kids. And we believe that there are some of them. And we believe that, you know, they are so godly. But Jude is saying that these men are ungodly people. And what they do, they pervert the gospel, the truth of the gospel. So, which means that, what kind of behavior that they are exhibiting? Well, let's look at some of them. Well, they turn the grace of God into a license for immorality. Now, look at the world we are living in today. Now, again, I said this is one of those books that you don't hear much preachers preaching about it, but it is quite evident today. In fact, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible, Paul told Timothy, know this, that in the last days, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days, dangerous times are coming.
All right.
And men shall be lovers of what? Of their own selves.
Right.
Selfish. Mm-hmm. Ungodly men. Now, Jude says that these people, these ungodly men, they pervert the gospel, the grace of God, for their own benefit. Mm-hmm. Now, before, there are people who, you know, who says that, you know, were there any, I would use the word, gay folks prior to this century? Yes, they were. Okay? So, which means that here he's talking about this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. This lifestyle. Now, after reading this, I'm hoping that you are not going to leave here thinking that people were created that way. All right. They are not. Because Jude said that they are perverting the grace of God into what? A license for immorality, for sin. These people believe, they believe in grace, and instead they abuse it so that they might indulge in their own sin. They knew nothing about the power of God, nothing about it manifested in holy living, and therefore they deny the authority of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we will discover in the text, these people really do not believe what the Bible says. All right. They don't. How do we know that? Well, because if you believe something, guess what you're going to do? You're going to act on it.
That's right.
You're going to act on it. Mm-hmm. Now, in this text, we are going to learn a few things about unbelief. You see, unbelief leads to rebellion against God. It leads to rebellion against God. It also leads to lawlessness, which is the goal of falsehood. Now, just look. You don't need to look far away. Just look at our prisons. Look at our prisons. Some people, I believe, are there innocently. But the majority of them are there simply because they have no regard to the law. They are lawless. And nothing you and I can do to change it. Why? Because the Bible says that in the last days, men are going to become like this. Mm-hmm. Now, let's take it home a little bit. How about our parents? You can know when a child is listening. How do you know that? Well, because if they are listening, they're going to do what you said to do, right?
All right.
They're going to do it. So if they're not listening, they're not going to do it. It may be that they might pretend. Now think about it for a second. These ungodly men are so shrewd. Now he's not talking about, again, people who are only out there in the world. He's also talking about people who are coming in into our church.
That's right.
With this attitude where they can start telling you about things that you and I are going to listen to, and we'll say a good amen to that, but then their lifestyle does not represent the things that they're telling you.
Amen.
Very decisive.
Right.
Now, I wanted to do something this morning. I wanted to write a big amen on a sheet of paper, so if you didn't say amen, so I can take it and look it back at me, and I'll say amen to myself, right? Okay? So which means that these people, they abuse their position of authority.
All right.
They abuse it. And we as believers, particularly those who are young, growing in the faith, we need to be so careful that we are taught, we allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us the things of God. By the way, he is the teacher that we all need.
Amen.
Me or anybody else do not have a monopoly of teaching. The Holy Spirit does. Now, some people say that, you know, God reveals stuff to them. Hey, look, let me say this to you. In this day and time, we hear a lot about revelation, right?
All right.
Does God reveal things to you and to me? Some people would say less. But what we have is that we have the Bible. We have God's complete revelation. So what is happening to us when we look at a text or a passage that we did not quite understand? If we looked at it maybe a year or 2 years ago, and then, you know, we try to make sense out of it, guess what's going to happen? When you look at it today, the Holy Spirit is going to illuminate your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to allow you to look at it from a perspective that you have never seen it before. That's illumination. It is not revelation.
Amen.
Because we have God's complete revelation in this Bible here. So there is no need for him to reveal anything more to us. We have it. In fact, we have enough that we don't even do half of the things that he tells us to do, right?
That's right.
So therefore, we need to pay close attention to it. You see, these ungodly people, which I called the apostate church, they are ungodly people. And as far as the Bible says, is that they have a license for immorality. What they do is that the word of God, by the way, clearly differentiates the difference between a genuine believer, a believer of faith, and a person who is false. Well, let's see how the Bible describes them. What did those people do? They deny Jesus Christ. Okay? So which means that, what do they deny? They deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. In other words, that gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, they do not proclaim that. They don't proclaim it. What they say to us is that they tell us things that we want to hear so that we can have a very good laugh, right? And then when we leave here, when we leave the church, what we have? Nothing to show for it. But by the way, Jude says at the beginning of the verse that he wanted the church to contend, to fight for. By the way, the only thing you and I have today that is valuable is what? Is our faith. It's only our faith. No matter how hard we work or what we work for, the only thing we have that we can protect is our faith. And we should not allow anyone to try to confuse us about it. Because by the way, we see, in fact, I'll just put this in here. By the way, we just went through what is called, I don't know where they get that from, Black Friday. There's no Fridays that are black. Okay? So let's call it Money Friday, right? Because that's what they did. And we are hoping that those of us who go out and buy stuff are going to buy stuff that would help not only us, but our children learn more about the Lord, right? I hope that is true. I hope we don't go and buy things and just stuff it under the Christmas tree and hand it out to the children. And then the next day, they are taking it doing what? Doing things that they have no business doing. For example, let's look at the computer, the phone. I'm pretty sure that they're going to sell a whole lot of that, right? Mm-hmm. But listen, these gadgets, these phones can become our worst enemy. Because when we look at those things, what it is that we are looking at? What it is that we are looking at? The Bible used the word pervert. And look, these ungodly people are creating these things. And they are putting these things in there so that you and I can be hooked on those things that has absolutely nothing to do with giving God praise. Jude says you got to watch out for these things. You have to defend it. I didn't say you don't have to buy. There are some good things that you can do with them. Because even while studying, while reading, I had to look up some words. And, you know, I had to get into the computer instead of going to the dictionaries a whole lot faster. And then also, too, I had to look at some verses that I could not remember, you know, and then it pops it out very quickly for me. But you see, you can use those things for your good. Okay? You can use those things. But we have to be so careful what we're using these things for. Now, he also said that though you already know, verse 5, you already know all this. I want to remind you, the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt. And what did he do later? He destroyed them. So this is letting me to believe that oftentimes we feel that we can live any way we want to. And then, you know, I mean, nothing is happening and everything seems to be okay. By the way, some of those people in Egypt were still alive when God destroyed them, right? They were alive. A lot of them were alive when God destroyed them. So it is quite obvious that during the time of your life and my life, if we continue to live the way that displeases God, guess what God's going to do? He's going to do something that is going to probably, first of all, get your attention. Why? Because we know God is long-suffering. So which means that he's going to give us an opportunity to get it right. Okay? Now, he also said that these people, these ungodly people, they pollute their own bodies. I didn't bring it out. I think the Bible says it. What does it mean, though, to pollute? Well, we look at that word and it says polluting. You know, you look at the river, look at the James River, right? you can put some chemical, put a lot of chemicals in there, so therefore it becomes polluted, right? Okay? But how does one pollute his or her mind? Well, let's take the phone. Let's go back to the phone and the computer. There are things in there that we can be looking at, and it can do what? Pollute our minds. Okay? It can pollute our minds. So you see, God wants us to understand that what it is that we need to do to our minds in order to get it right. Now, I often hear that, you know, how can somebody train his or her mind? You know we can do that? You know someone can do that? How can we do it? Well, if you look at Romans chapter 12, it says, Paul writing to the church at Rome says, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you do what? You present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. Now, how do you present it? You present it holy, which is quite the opposite of pollution, right? You present it holy, right? Pure. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transform. And how are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. So what that means is that we can train and practice our minds to think pure thoughts, right?
That's right. Amen.
And by the way, man, I have a word for you, and I take that too. We need to put down this porn stuff. Don't be looking at that. See, I'll tell you a little secret because I'm glad my wife is here. She always peep into my phone and see what I'm looking at. That's a good thing because it's going to help me, right? Anything that will help me? Praise the Lord, right? Stop looking at this stuff. Because you see, God wants us to train our minds, train our thoughts so that we can think what? Pure. He wants us to be pure. He says, holy, which is acceptable unto God. And by the way, you cannot worship God with your mind messed up, right?
That's right.
You can't do that. If you do, well, we are hoping that today you'll get your mind cleaned up.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Okay, so here's the thing. Now, by the way, not only men, women too.
That's right.
Okay? Like somebody used to say, I mean, it's amazing. One time I was watching, flipping through my channel, and then there was this CMA or whatever that award thing is that they do on television. And the very first thing that they were giving a person an award, and the very first thing that the person said, oh, I thank God for, you know, I mean, all the good things that has happened to her and all that. And then later on that person had to perform, and guess what? Almost no clothes on. See, that is what Jude is really talking about. Your lifestyle should represent who you are in your music, in your worship, and in everything that you do. So that will be acceptable unto God. Hey, and by the way, don't fool yourself. God is not finished with us.
That's right.
It's just started. And if you think that, you know, you and I can go about doing whatever it is that we want, Jude says, let me remind you what the Lord did to his own people. Mm-hmm. They were crying, demanding to get out of Egypt. God heard their cry. And afterwards, guess what? They delivered them and he destroyed them. For the purpose of time, notice what the Bible says. We must not condone what the Bible or what God has condemned. We must not condone those things that the Bible, that God has condemned. You know, we can tolerate certain things, but one of the things that God wants us to do, as Jude says, is that we have to defend. He's contending, he's writing that we have to defend the faith that we have. Okay? Now, he gives us some examples very quickly. Okay, in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 6, again, he refers back to the children of Israel. And he also talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. God is never going to allow sin to go unpunished. He's never going to allow it. And even in this book, he says, I am going to take vengeance upon these people. By the way, he also mentioned Cain. Cain. And one interesting thing that I discovered about that gift that Cain brought. Do you know that when God cursed the ground, okay, when he cursed the ground, he told Cain, he told him that he should not be bringing in that fruit that comes from that ground that is cursed.
All right?
So guess what? He did it anyway. He did it anyway and expect God to bless him. I mean, don't we find ourselves in this situation that we want to do whatever it is that we want and expect God to bless us? And by the way, not everything is a blessing from God. Not everything. Sometimes it can be, you may look at it as something good. The blessings that actually comes from God, we are going to use it to do what? To elevate his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And very quickly, how do we contend for the faith? Well, first, we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as we talked about in Romans 12, 1. Secondly, we have to saturate our minds with the word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. What does it say? Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. And let me just say this. You and I cannot teach anybody anything we haven't learned. We can't. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to teach anybody anything that you have not learned. You know, one of the things that, and I'm going to quote Dr. Fowle on this, the third thing, which is to pray. We got to pray. Because I remember when I was going to college, Dr. Fowle always used to say this, nothing can be accomplished, nothing, apart from prayer. You have to pray. And then fourthly, you have to stand up against those who want to challenge your faith. You have to stand up against it. You have to defend it. And how do you defend it? There are a couple ways you can do that. But one practical way to do it is to live a life of service.
Amen.
Live a life of service. I know many of you, and I'm going to introduce this right now because, again, today we are going to recognize our teachers and also our students, you know, for their participation. But one of the things that is going to help us is participating in the things of God in our local church. We can grow together. We can teach each other. And when we meet each other, we have a whole lot to talk about instead of talking about who is who and who is not who, right? We have a whole lot to talk about. And it is fun. Romans 1:16. And lastly, here is my admonition to you, and I take it very seriously. Stop, men, stop watching dirty movies. Stop it. By the way, when the Bible says stop, what does it mean? Stop. And then thirdly, women, get dressed. God is not pleased, will never be pleased with sin. Thank you very much.